But first up, a pharma revolution of sorts. I'm talking about biosimilars. They're like generic prescription drugs, except for more complex biologic drugs that can't exactly be replicated. Think injectables used in cancer treatments. Last week, a federal advisory committee handed down its recommendations on the very first application for a drug of this kind in the U.S. Many are calling it a historic move. Alana Gordon was there and brings us this report on what the decision could mean for the industry, for providers, and for patients.
Confession, I've spent about 5 days putting together this story. Mark McCamish has spent 5 years at least preparing for this presentation.
It's a pleasure for me to be here today to represent the Novartis group of companies.
McCamish is with the Swiss drug maker Novartis. He and his colleagues trade off at a podium in the front left corner of a large conference hall at the FDA's headquarters in Silver Springs, Maryland.
This slide outlines the biosimilar development.
It's now my great pleasure to walk you through the clinical development.
And taking a look now to the numerical results.
This is a very comprehensive and quite extensive package, actually.
That the biological activities are highly similar.
If I can go to the next slide, please.
They're trying to make their case before an advisory panel of 14 independent cancer specialists and a group of FDA regulators for why their drug, EP2006, should be approved for sale in the U.S. It's similar to Amgen's drug, Neupogen, that's used to fight infections in cancer patients.
Thank you very much. So we are a little bit ahead of schedule, but
A lot of people, industry reps, patient advocates, investors, are here listening to this, paying close attention to the evidence under review. Some came in for the day from Europe. Their suitcases are propped against the wall. That's because Novartis's drug application represents uncharted territory in the U.S.
Welcome to what I think is a historic occasion. This is the first application under our new biosimilar pathway that's being brought to an FDA advisory committee.
That is Janet Woodcock, director of the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. She says the FDA is in the midst of shaping the standards and requirements for approving biosimilars. So what is a biosimilar?
That's a question that sounds a lot simpler than the answer is.
During a mid-morning break, I meet up with Jay Siegel. He's chief biotechnology officer at Johnson & Johnson and a former FDA regulator. Siegel says biosimilars are highly similar but not identical versions of biologic drugs. They're not exact replicates like generics because biologics tend to be more complicated.
In a simplistic sense, biologics are typically much larger molecules. They're usually made by living organisms. They may be like hormones, other types of proteins, sometimes they're cells, they can be antibodies, whereas most drugs are smaller chemical entities that can be synthesized in the laboratory.
Biologics make up a small but costly portion of the U.S. drug market, and it's for that reason Amy Leong, a patient advocate, came in for today's meeting from California.
What's at stake is my ability to get access to affordable medication. That's what's at stake.
Leong has rheumatoid arthritis. She was in a wheelchair for 5 years. She says biologics are often out of reach for patients.
In my field, in autoimmune inflammatory arthritis, it's at least $1,800 a month. Now, you want to pay rent? You want to pay food? You want to get your child through school? Or do you want the drug that's going to hopefully make a difference in your disease and in your life? It should not have to be about that.
The hope is that, like generics, biosimilars could offer cheaper, just as effective treatment options for patients. They've existed in Europe for a decade, and they've led to a 20 to 30% reduction in drug prices. The drug that Novartis wants approved here in the U.S. has been sold in Europe for several years. So why isn't it already available here? Jillian Woollett, a consultant at Avalere Health, says Europe passed a law establishing an approval pathway for biosimilars a decade ago. That didn't happen in the U.S. until the Affordable Care Act took effect.
Here is the version printed out 24th of December, 2009.
Willette pulls out a copy of the law from her bag. Specifically, it's the 40-page section called the Biologics Price Competition and Innovation Act. It's so important, she's been carrying it around for reference for 5 years.
So yeah, it's a little bit yellow. It's a little bit dog-eared.
Willette says this legislation gives the FDA the legal pathway to develop an approval process for biosimilars, similar to what happened for generics in the 80s.
So it was legislation that was anticipated to save money. So therefore, if you put it in the Affordable Care Act, both the timing was right, but also the estimate was a savings of $14 billion.
That's $14 billion over the next decade. Everyone in this room knows cost is a huge issue. The panel even talks about it. But their task is to determine whether this drug is similar enough to the original one to be given to patients.
So, discussion from the panel?
The question is, does this confirm...
I wish I could tell you there was a lot of lively debate over this application. People in the room have a lot of questions about what kind of clinical benchmarks and analysis will be required of biosimilars, about how doctors and patients will respond, and about the state's role in regulating their use.
Did I see a hand over here?
But the issues this panel raised about this specific application were really minor.
Clinically, it is highly similar.
Dr. Waldman, do you agree?
Yeah, I'm going to go with my colleague on this.
So much so that after a brief back and forth,
I think we can actually move on to the vote.
Deb Armstrong, the committee's chair and an oncologist at Johns Hopkins, calls for a vote. And
Antonio Moreira, I voted yes.
Kathleen Neville voted yes.
I'm Dave Strancic, I voted yes.
All 14 recommend the FDA approve the drug.
Voted yes.
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 No abstentions, no votes.
I voted yes.
Again, Jay Siegel with Johnson & Johnson.
Well, I was surprised to hear, not to hear more discussion.
So why wasn't there?
But no, it was actually pretty straightforward.
Scott Waldman is a member of the committee and also chairs pharmacology and experimental therapeutics at Thomas Jefferson University here in Philadelphia. Waldman says this first application was one of the best clinical packages he's ever seen. One advantage that future applications won't have is all the available clinical data this drug has from being used in Europe.
I think this is a pretty high bar to set, and that other compounds that come through are going to have to leap over this bar.
But what this panel recommendation does show is it is possible. The FDA is expected to make their final decision in the next few months. At least three other applications for biosimilars are in the pipeline. Number two on the list, a biosimilar for Johnson & Johnson's blockbuster Remicade, used for diseases like Crohn's and colitis and developed right here in Philadelphia. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.